Albayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Albayan Live. I'm your host, Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined by my dear beloved Sheikh, Sheikh Jameel Albiza. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome to Albayan Live on another Wednesday evening.
Jazakallah khair, Allah barik feek.
As always, it's good to have you with us live in the Albayan Radio Studios, live on Facebook, live on our apps and Wi-Fi devices. We'd like to welcome all our listeners. We'd like to welcome all our listeners and viewers, wherever they may be. Barakallah feekum. We thank you for listening to us on a night where there's many things to do. And many choices one has to make, but inshallah we all make the right choice and do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How's your week been, Sheikh?
Wallahi, alhamdulillah, nice. It's been good. It's been, it's always busy, but it's good, alhamdulillah. The weather was nice and, the work was good. You know, as a da'i, there's always ups and downs. There's always, interesting things that occur, but it's been good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. It's always good to have you with us. Always good to get some insight on many topics. And the last few weeks has been, since what's happened in France and the rest of it, the hot topic has been about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as it always should be, for us to learn about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, learn about his life, learn about his seerah, learn about his companions, because he is the greatest man to set foot on this earth.
Of course. We
don't hide this at all. Not only when people speak about him in a negative way do we come out and defend him. It should always be part of our life, educating our children as our companions used to teach their children the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like they used to teach them a surah from the Quran. So it's part of our iman. Therefore, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must have rights upon us. And this is what is our topic tonight, the rights of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam upon us. Why this topic and where do we start with this great important topic?
100% what you just said. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is more beloved to us than anything else in this dunya. And when we have that claim, that's a big claim. That's a very big claim. For Muslims to say that, that's a very big claim. And there must be then proof, in saying that. You must, offer something. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prove to him that this love is sincere.
Legit.
It's legit. So the rights of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us, there are many. We're only going to speak about a couple of today, but there are many. But why the topic? Of course, because when the initial reaction, to what happened in France, occurred around the world, from the protests, from the boycotting, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he blesses the boycott of the brothers and sisters around the world, it seems to have an effect, and it seems that the effect is, and as I mentioned, it will take a few weeks for us to see the effects of this boycott. And if the brothers and sisters were to continue, I think we will see something pleasing coming out of that,
inshallah.
But we also mentioned in the previous episodes that can't be the only thing, and we've got to continually teach ourselves, our children, our community, what is our, responsibilities towards Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What are his rights upon us? As a Muslim, what do I do to prove to myself, to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is where it's supposed to be, at a level that it's supposed to be, in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepts and what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to do.
Sheikh Jameel, before you continue, I was listening to one of the mashayikh and he said some powerful words. I don't remember exactly the exact wording, but he said something along the lines that even his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is basically a gift that keeps giving. It's a miracle in and of itself that his life is the most documented life of any human being to set foot on this earth. If you were to look at it today, it's been written about in many languages. I would say yearly there's new books about his life. And even from a student point of view, the Sheikh is saying, if you were to read it yearly, you'd never get sick of it.
Oh, of course.
It is just an amazing life, which angle you look at it, which perspective you look at it.
So, every part of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life has been documented. From when he wakes up, until he goes to sleep. His sleeping pattern, his eating pattern, his worship pattern, his emotions, his everything about him. And so it is a miracle in itself. And if you were a doctor and you look at the seerah, you will always gain from the medical side of things, because he was the wahi that would come down upon him in how to eat and how to drink and how to sleep. Medically, it's been proven that everything about his regimen is, mashallah, this is what we're supposed to be doing for a healthy body. Then if you were to look at, if you were a psychologist, you would look at the way he would deal with affairs in his life, issues that happened, problems that occurred, the young, the old, the women, the men, the enemies, the friends, the way he deals with them. This is textbook psychology, as they're trying to teach us. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived it. Anyone who has anything to do with, tarbiyah, bringing up children, education, behavioral management, and anyone who would look at Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's seerah would benefit. For the layman like us, we're just, tulab ilm that are weakest level. When we read it, it's an absolute guide from the start of the day till the end of the day, through all seasons, through all issues in our life. We take it from Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we try to implement it in our day-to-day life. 100% it's a miracle. It's like the Quran. When you read the Quran, it talks to you in a different way. When you're upset, when you're happy, you've got issues, you don't have issues. You read a verse and it means something to you. The meaning of the verse doesn't change, but it means something to you differently. It gives you solace at times. It gives you, encouragement at other times. It gives you, glad tidings at times. And so depending in what mood you're in, you'll benefit from the recitation of the Quran. The same with the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and for us, reading his seerah is not just about the knowledge aspect. It's the faith aspect. Because look, we're living at a time where it's very, very difficult for us. But we can never claim that we are the only ones to ever go through this. If you look at the generations that came before us, and if we were to look at into the future with the generations that are coming, we're not going to be unique in the issues that we're facing. Names differ, events, certain, characteristics of that event. But in generally, the trial and tribulations of war, the trial and tribulations of, enemies of Islam and the plot against Muslims, the evil, vindictive approach of the disbelievers against Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his ummah, all of this has not changed throughout history. That's all been there. Just the names have changed. This ruler or that ruler or this president or that king, they're just the names have changed. But the same situation. How did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam deal with it? That's what we learn. We all lose someone in our life, dear to us. How did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam deal with it? It gives us some solace, gives us some, education in how to deal with things. And it's always been a practical way of showing us how to do something. It's not just theory. It's not just, people say that, oh yeah, but you're just reading about Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah, but you're reading about how Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam acted. And the way that he would react to certain things are not things that are impossible for us to do. That's the whole point of him being sent to this ummah, is to be that practical guide in getting closer to Allah, in fulfilling all the commandments and staying away from all the, things that are forbidden. That was his job. He's the messenger. And he came to deliver this message of Islam. And he was a practical, guide throughout all of that. And so this is why reading it for everyone, even young, when they read it, it is to help them out through their problems, even when they're facing even their adolescent years, young parents, when they're trying to raise their children, brothers and sisters who get married, they want to perfect their marriage. Whatever situation you're in, you've just entered a new career, all right, how do I move forward? You're faced with a dilemma, how do you deal with that? You find all of that in the sunnah. You've just got to look for it. You've just got to sit there and be intrigued and start reading. And what I find is, you know, a lot of the brothers will speak about seerah, but they read it in a story like, they're still benefiting, but they're reading it in a story like, and so they want to be interested. And so they will go to storytelling rather than factual, you know, books about the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look, as long as what you're reading is can be verified that it is an actual authentic, you know, narration of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then so be it. It's not an issue how the wording is. But as long as the actual hadith that are mentioned and the stories that occurred, the narrative itself is authentic, then inshallah you'll benefit. But if a person is studying the seerah, it's different. Because you're looking at, you know, event by event and how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reacted. And it, like I said, it teaches us a lot. But that's even diving into some of his rights to get to know him.
That's right.
You know, these are one of his rights, yani, to get to know Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in the beginning, we need to understand one thing. And subhanAllah, we live a life of relationships as humans throughout our entire life. From ever since we were born until we die, we're going to go through relationship after relationship. The relationship of our, you know, of ourselves with our parents, the relationship when we become parents with our children, relationship with our friends, relationship with our colleagues at work, relationships with our, you know, with the students at school that, you know, study with us, the relationship with, you know, the business colleagues where I'm working, or, you know, the relationship with the law enforcement, with the medical field, your doctor, you know, relationships are continually happening. You know, and that's never going to stop. With all relationships that we have, it can only be classified as being a relationship if there is rights and responsibilities on either side. And it needs to be on both sides. So I have rights. I want the person I'm in a relationship with, you know, to give me those rights. And I have responsibilities, and it's a duty upon me to give them the responsibilities that are upon me, which are their rights. And vice versa. Both parties need to do that. If only one side does it, then there's problems. And imagine getting into a marriage and mashallah the wife, all of her responsibilities are done, but all of her rights have never been given to her. That relationship won't last. A child and their parents, as a child, his responsibilities is that they listen to their parents, they abide by them, they give them their birr, you know, they try to, you know, be dutiful to them, but they're getting nothing in return. So the parents are not providing for them, not safeguarding them. They're abusing them. They're not giving them shelter. They're not giving them food. And it, so that relationship is not, you know, what it's supposed to be anyway. Okay, you have you know, a person at work, you know. So you've got the boss and you've got the employees. The employee is given all of the you know, their responsibilities. Alhamdulillah, they're working, they're coming on time, they're doing their job. But their employee is not giving them their right, which is their money. That won't last. Vice versa, it won't last as well. If I'm giving you money, but you're not doing your job, I'll fire you. I'll get rid of you. Same thing as a school. The responsibility between a student and a teacher. You know, the relationship that we have there is that the teacher is supposed to teach. And I'm supposed to learn and respect the teacher. If I don't learn and I'm not respecting the teacher, then they'll tell me to leave. But the same thing, vice versa. If I'm learning, mashallah, and I'm giving respect, but the teacher's not teaching, and there's dhulm here. Same thing with us and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Same thing.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has rights upon us.
Oh, of course.
We have to fulfill
And them. We have rights upon him. Has he fulfilled it? 100%. That's a given. So he's got rights. We've got rights from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where are they, ya Rasulullah? All right, he was sent as a guide to mankind, given to us. He took us from darkness to light, he done that. He showed us the right path, he done that. Everything that draws us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's done that. Everything that, you know, gets us closer to Jahannam and the wrath of Allah, he's warned us from. He's done that. And not only, he's done it in his life. So, even when he passed, he's still doing it. He's still doing it.
So it reminds me of the hadith where he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I have left you on the clear, straight path. It's night, it's like it's day.
That's it.
No one strays from it except that he is destroyed.
And then he said, I've left you with two things. And if you were to grab hold of, you would never be led astray.
Allahu Akbar.
The Quran and my Sunnah. Bite upon it with your molar teeth. Even when he passed, everything's been said. The fact that Muhammad knew that he was passing to deliver this Sunnah to his companions was our right upon him, that he allows the Sunnah to get to us. That's our right. How are we going to be guided from the darkness to light if the Sunnah does not get to us? The choice of companions was important. Allowing the companions to be going through tests, then to allow the companions to be then chosen by Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for them to be the best. And that is why, if you notice, some of the Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually made dua for, that they memorize more, that they remember more, that they are... He done all that's when he was alive, so he can prepare for when he passes.
That's another topic altogether. And
of course,
inshallah, there's a seminar coming up, isn't
there? Inshallah, there's a seminar coming up in 2 weeks, inshallah, with ASWJ. Inshallah, it will be ASWJ in Campbelltown, in CYC. And inshallah, the notice we'll put it up on, of course, Al Bayan, and everybody from Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah will be publicizing it.
It's on the 14th of November,
Saturday, yes,
after Asr until Isha.
Until Isha,
and it will be about the belief of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. Regarding the noble companions, yes, of the Prophet. So this is like a continuation of what we're speaking,
yes,
about today.
Yes, and of course, that is, you know, this is important for us to know and to realize that Muhammad did not leave us. He did not leave us. And he also reminded us in his life that he loves us. Awesome. Didn't he say, I long to see my brothers? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, aren't we your brothers? He said, you are my companions. My brothers are the ones that come after me, and they have not seen me. They would wish to sacrifice their entire family to be with me.
Oh, my God.
He's talking about us. He also mentions that he will meet us Yawm al-Qiyamah. So he's preparing us, not only in his life, when he passes, and then he's telling us, I am going to fulfill your rights also, Yawm al-Qiyamah. I will wait for you at my pond, the fountain. I wait for you there. And I will give you a drink of water that after you drink it, you will never be thirsty again. Okay, some of us are going to be lacking in a lot of departments in Islam. We're going to be entering into Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard us.
Amen.
Not all of us are going to go to Jannah. That's the reality. And so we're scared. So we go to the prophets of God. Every nation is going to go to their prophets. And the prophets are all going to say, leave me, I have enough of an issue.
Nafsi,
I can't. Each one of them will pass you on to another until you get to Muhammad, awesome, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is where he would say, Ummati. Yani, I've got it. He will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this, for what? For his ummah, for us. He's promising the right that he's going to give us Yawm al-Qiyamah when he was still alive. He already told us what we're going to do. So he's given us, he's right upon us, the responsibilities that he was supposed to give us, done. Okay, what about us? Can it be only one way? It can't be one way. We just mentioned that. It has to be both ways. With everything else that we gave of examples, there is a possibility that one party or the other lacks in the rights and responsibilities. But with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and us, he's already complete. He's perfect. It's now us. Okay. Now, we have a rights upon, you know, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's given us our rights. All right, what's our responsibility? Is it for us to say that I'm from the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and that's enough?
I love him. That's
I love him. It's in my heart. Is that enough? It wasn't enough. Wasn't enough.
Before we continue, we've got our first comment for tonight. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you can comment and contribute to tonight's program on our Facebook page there. We are live streaming there. The feed, you can see it on Al-Bayan Radio, and wherever that feed has been shared, you can leave your comments there, and inshallah, we'll try to get to it. As our dear brother Ziyad Hafza has, he says, there needs to be much education in what it actually means to accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the messenger. Some bullet points. He says, we accept wholeheartedly without any of our own interpretation and intellect, his sayings, views, opinions, path, methods, understandings, practices, and implementations of all the above. This is just a starting point.
Subhanallah. And Brother Ziyad, subhanallah, is one of the brothers that, first of all, beautiful brother from Baytul Islami, but he also gives lectures as well about, subhanallah, bringing from the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran ways of perfecting yourself as an individual. And mashallah, I think now he's, I don't know how many episodes he's done. He maybe can, you know, tell us and inform us. He's got so many episodes about this on the actual Baytul Islami website.
I don't want to take you down memory lane. He was actually one of my classmates.
Yes, in
the first year of the ASWJ College.
Mashallah.
In Lakemba.
In Lakemba, that's a, yeah. It's a while back.
Wow, wow.
And he's continued, mashallah, yeah, both in secular.
And he was with Sheikh Fayez as well.
In secular that, and also with Allah Islamic knowledge, yeah. Mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. But he's right. Yani, the testimony of faith that we constantly mention, you know, the shahada. The second part is that we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of God. And this is the first right upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from us. That's our first responsibility. That we believe, as the brother was mentioning, we believe wholeheartedly that he's the messenger of God.
Chosen by Allah.
Chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To fulfill a duty set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is to convey the message perfectly.
And he completed that. And he completed that. Yeah. We must believe that.
We have to believe that. If you have doubt in that, then you have doubt in the shahada. Then if you have doubt in the shahada, then where's your Islam?
And that has implications as well, because if you believe he completed the message, there's no room for additions and subtractions,
yeah,
is there?
See, that's where it comes. And that's why Islam is holistic. If I've now believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only deity worthy of being worshipped, there is no other God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and I also believe, it has to be on the same level. You can't say that one belief is high, one belief is low. They're the same. There is the shahada. I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my God, the only true Lord worthy of being worshipped, and I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a servant, so nullifying any person that يعني, is attributing lordship to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is a servant, abduhu, he's a servant, wa rasuluh, and a messenger.
And the seal of all the messengers and prophets.
So now that I believe this, okay, belief in him has also, you know, tabaat, has also, you know, conditions. Yeah, there's shurut for this. You can't just say, oh, I believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message, and then, you know, and I start implementing things in your life that contradict what you just said. And that is why anyone who starts to believe in Islam, we tell them that, yes, you have to believe in God, they believe in God. Okay, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they're having doubt here, then there's a problem. We can't just, you know, say, look, leave that on the side and continue everything else in Islam. Read the Quran, read. But, you know, when you want to jump on board with the second part of the shahada, then we, no, there's a problem here from the start. Al-imanu sadiq. Al-imanu sadiq. A truthful belief from your heart sincerely that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the prophet of God, the messenger of God, and that he is not God or God-like. That's what it entails. So anyone giving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam God-like attributes, you've gone against the shahada.
So that will entail as well those who give less than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some of the attributes.
And those who then belittle the positioning of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there's problems as well.
So there's two extremes, isn't
there? There's two extremes. There's always two extremes. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about a nation that will come, a group of people that will come, that will say that it is suffice for me what is in the book of Allah. Meaning what? They don't really look at and they don't accept the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's enough. If it's in the Quran, then we take it. If not, then we don't take it. You saying the shahada, you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the messenger of God, then you're not allowed to reject. Now, not doing out of laziness, out of whatever reason, that's one thing. Rejecting the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is blasphemy. This takes you out of the fold of Islam. If I give you clear cut sunnah, authentic, where none of the ulama have ever debated in, we're not talking about debatable issues, We're talking about clear-cut belief, clear-cut ahadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you reject it for no other reason except that you don't believe in that, then there's a problem.
And this is in the Quran, وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا
نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. That's an amr, and an amr in the Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a command. Whatever the Prophet has given you, then take. How problem is nowadays, we have a lot of these intellectuals. Inshallah, study a lot, study. And then they get to a stage where they allow their mind to then go over the nas.
So really, they're not very intellectual.
Then they're not very intellectual. But they think that they are. So they start to second guess because a lot of the ahadith.
Because we have a principle in Islam, and as I'm pretty sure you were going to mention, that we put forward the revelation over the aql.
And this has been proven by a lot of the these individuals, where a hadith will be given to them, and their knowledge, or their so-called knowledge in science or in this dunya that they have around them, allows them to reject a saying of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them actually mentioned, one person actually mentioned who was respected in the Muslim community, not here in overseas, but in our lifetime, where the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning al-ba'udha, the fly, that if it lands in your dish, then dip the whole fly, push the whole fly into the dish, and then take it out and throw it. Mm. For in one wing there is an illness, and in the other wing the cure.
So in your drink, you just
It flies into your drink. Put it all the way in, then take it out. Flies into your yogurt, the laban as at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dip it all the way in, then throw it out. One of these individuals who said, I would take from the scientists this type of information, but I won't take from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thinking that it is not proper that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will dive into a scientific matter like this.
So this is
forgetting the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam la yantiqa 'an al-hawa.
It's revelation.
It's revelation.
And in reality, Sheikh Jameel, just with this point, sound intellect and sound logic never goes against the Quran and Sunnah.
Never.
The Quran and Sunnah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
But here they underline the word sound. Corrupted logic and intellect, as we see today.
Or just lack of understanding in a matter. You might have a great understanding in a certain field. That's excellent. But as soon as you then take that knowledge and it's going against the clear-cut sunnah, you need to stop and say, hang on, what's wrong with my knowledge that I have acquired?
So you have to stop.
Not what's wrong with the hadith. There must be something wrong with this hadith. No, what's wrong with the knowledge that you've acquired?
Even science changes regularly. SubhanAllah, love him.
And this is just a side point. This is segue off that. We need to understand that when we're teaching our children and we're teaching non-Muslims, when we're teaching Islam in general, never mention science to be equal to. Never say to try to, defend your position in Islam, or to try to, give argument to your saying of a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even from the Quran, and say science has agreed. Yani it's proven scientifically that this matter so and so. This is why? Because if science is then is proven incorrect in a couple of years, they're gonna attack Islam. They're gonna say, we just found out that this is wrong. That means your hadith, your Quran is also wrong. No. If it coincides with the haqq, then we take it. But we don't say that the haqq is proven because of your scientific knowledge. No.
Haqq is proven because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The haqq is haqq. The truth is truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Science doesn't prove it.
So we believe in all this unconditionally.
Unconditionally, you have to believe in it. And believing in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what he has come with, unconditionally. Yes, alhamdulillah, the ulama of science of hadith have done the job.
So the Quran and authentic sunnah, believe in it.
Authentic sunnah. So that's the first thing. You have to have iman. Iman sadiq. Without, it's unshakable faith in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next one is respect. Showing humility before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Showing ultimate respect. Some of the people might say, well, the Prophet ﷺ has passed away. Yani, how are we going to show him respect? Well, showing respect to Muhammad ﷺ is when he was alive, and then also after he passed. When he was alive, the companions showed that ultimate respect. and they were commanded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't not in Allah, yani they could choose or not to, or this. And at times they were actually instructed. At times they were instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to behave. Lower your voice. You know? Don't ask him of things that he's too embarrassed to actually say no. Because they used to come and wait for him outside his door. Take time away from his family. They used to spend time with him until he was tired, fatigued. But he wouldn't, out of his mercy, he wouldn't tell them, go away. He wouldn't tell them, I'm tired. He wouldn't tell them, I want to sit with my family. He wouldn't tell them, I'm sick. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to bring down verses to tell the companions, you need to, you know, seek istidhan. You need to ask permission to visit. You need to, you know, all of these things, that was at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never raising their voice. Respecting him. Don't call him like you would call your friend. None of the companions would say, Ya Aba al-Qasim. No. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Nabiullah. You know, there's respect in the way, even the way you call upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even when mentioning his name. The greetings that we send, the prayers that we send, the blessings that we send upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is all part of that respect. That if he was to say something that you don't, you know, go against it. There was one incident that happened in Al-Hudaybiyah. And we know what happened there concerning this issue. And Umar radiallahu anhu was very upset with that. That we came all the way from Medina, we're going to perform Umrah. And these people are telling us to go away. Ya Rasulullah, aren't we upon the haq? Didn't you promise that we're going to do Umrah? And these people are going to turn us back. Why? And he was saying it in a way where he himself is narrating the hadith. He said, after that day, I increased in good. I increased in qira'at Qur'an, sadaqah, remembering Allah, prayer, fasting, all extra, voluntary. Why? So that God can forgive me for the day of Hudaybiyah. Because of the way he was, the way he was speaking. Knowing that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this mercy also was a reason why even some of the ulama did things that we assumed. We would assume at first sight, we would assume that it's lack of respect, but it turns out to be ultimate respect. One incident in one of the battles, just before the battle, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making sure all the lines were perfect, as he would, because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. He mentioned the Quran. That he loves that the lines of the believers in battle are lined up in one line. Like Bunyan Marsus, you know, standing straight. So one of the companions, he stood forward a bit. Knowing that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking past to straighten the line. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got to him, he took the stick that he was holding and pushed him back into line upon his stomach. The Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, you hurt me. Now, first sight, you would say, what's this disrespect? Coming to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and saying that you hurt. Doesn't matter what he does to you, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so what do you want? He didn't say, who do you think you are? How dare you speak to me like that? He said, and what do you want? He said, al-qisas. I want my right, ya Rasulullah. You hurt me, I'm allowed to give it back to you. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uncovered his stomach. Uncovered his stomach. Do as you wish. I poked you, now you poke me. So the man then grabbed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and placed his cheek upon the stomach of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get closer to him. Ultimate respect. Ultimate humility in front of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the companions, he said, that I have so much love and respect for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you were to ask me to describe him, I could never do it. Because I'd never looked directly at his face. This is respect. This is respect. Nowadays, we might say, how's that respect? When you talk to someone, look at them. When the person has so much haybah, when the person has so much authority over you, like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions couldn't do that. And if you were to notice, and this is an interesting fact, that the one that brought the most descriptive description of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face and body and everything about him, who was it?
Ma'bad.
Was it a companion of the companions that stayed with him for years upon years?
Was someone he saw during the hijrah, wasn't it?
During the hijrah. He saw her for a few minutes. The ones that saw him for years upon years. Not even a description coming from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who migrated with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alone with him, wasn't as detailed as this lady who saw him for a few minutes, who fell in love with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, informing her husband. She described it to him, how he looked, and then of course the narrations that we have, a lot of them, the most detailed ones, are from her. Subhanallah. You know, the respect that was shown at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was from the companions. Okay. But now he's passed. Well, one of the things that we can do is always, whenever the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, then we send prayers and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what we have to do. We don't be stingy with it. We don't be stingy. Sometimes you hear a khatib, he'll mention Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam maybe 10, 15 times in the khutbah. You'll say it the first time, you'll say it the second time, and then you forget it. It's too much. Khalas. Every time we mention Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then send prayers and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only are you giving the right of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him, but you're also gaining rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having mercy upon you with that praise and with that blessings and with that salawat that you're sending upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So sending prayers upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever his name is mentioned. Okay, and his sunnah and his rulings. You're showing respect to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by following every command, by abstaining from everything he told you to abstain from. From following his sunnah, even in the way he acted. Even in the way he acted. One of the companions, and I think it was Ibn Abbas, he knew that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved pumpkin. Pumpkin. He loved the food. Even though we know that whatever Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did of natural and human characteristics and actions, we don't have to actually follow. So the way he actually walked, the way he actually ate, or what he ate. We don't have to follow that. The way he combed his hair, we don't have to follow that. But the more love you have, subhanAllah, you can't help yourself. So you want to follow.
With the right intention, you may be rewarded, inshallah.
With the intention, you're definitely rewarded. I'll tell you a story after that. So Ibn Abbas, he loved pumpkin because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved pumpkin.
What about you, Sheikh Jamil? How's your love for pumpkin?
Wallah, honestly, I never used to, honestly. And then I started getting used to pumpkin soup and then pumpkin in, you know, some certain dishes. Then now, alhamdulillah, we eat it.
I'm a big fan.
Yani, changing the niyyah, loving it for the sake of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah, we're rewarded.
Inshallah.
From just changing the niyyah. So when his son, Ibn Abbas' son, didn't like pumpkin, this was a problem. How could you not like pumpkin? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved pumpkin. Awesome. And he would force him. He'd say, no, you have to eat it. This is the favorite food of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you have love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you do whatever he was doing. Whatever he was. In Medina, I used to have long hair. You know, very long hair. And so, subhanAllah, a few of the teachers would tell me, go cut your hair, go cut your hair. And I honestly was trying to follow the sunnah because that's what I heard. That Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had long hair. And that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hair actually went between his shoulder blades and in another narration to his earlobes, and he would only cut it through Umrah and Hajj. And I have never committed, I've never done Umrah and Hajj yet. I haven't done it. So subhanAllah, I sat with some of the brothers, and I was with a brother that was studying with me. And we went to Sheikh Mukhtar al-Shankiti, and we said, look, I'm going to ask him. If he says go cut it, then I'm going to go cut it. Go shave it, I'll go shave it. If he says leave it, I'm leaving it until I do Umrah. So subhanAllah, I saw him after the lesson. I said, Sheikh, I've been told by some of my teachers at the Jami'ah that I should, you know, maybe cut the hair. He says, why do you have the hair? And I said, inshallah, sunnah. He said, you are rewarded, keep it. you are rewarded, keep it. I went back to the university and I told them that. So subhanAllah, they planned for an Umrah trip the week after. And they said, go do Umrah on behalf of the university. We're going to pay for it. So my first Umrah was with the university. Following the sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you see some brothers, they're wearing a ring with a black stone. And you ask him, why you've got the ring with a black stone? He said, because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the ring with a black stone. Alhamdulillah, you're rewarded. I mean, why are you growing your hair? Because of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If the answer is because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah, you're rewarded. Inshallah, you're rewarded. As a Muslim, this is showing respect. I want to follow him in everything. Okay. And this is when we speak to some brothers and they're doing this. But what's more important thing that you need to follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in? What's the most important thing that we need to, as Muslims, follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that sadly a lot of Muslims aren't doing?
How he believed in Allah and his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
His aqidah. His absolute belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did he believe in Muhammad in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
I mean, before you continue on, just to clarify that why some of the mashayikh that taught you at the uni, because there is a big discussion regarding that point.
Yes.
So that I think teachers aren't qualified.
No, of course, because there's a huge discussion between doing an action. Like I said, a human trait action that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had.
Personal qualities,
and then allowing it to be sunnah. There's a huge debate amongst the scholars that do you get rewarded or don't you? Or do you, and even in dress, and even, and there's a lot of debate wearing the turban because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wore the turban. You know, there's a whole debate. But it's a beautiful debate because the debate is about how do I follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How do I respect him? How do I show him that love? And that debate is only beneficial when the first debate is happened and then won. And that is, how did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam believe in Allah? And am I aligned with that?
So this is the most important question here. How did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam believe in Allah?
To show respect to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not just by following in his personal human traits and behavior. It's his belief. It's one thing to dress like Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to eat what Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved, to walk the way Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walked, to sleep the way that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slept, and you're following his shama'il, his characteristics, mashallah. But when it comes to belief, you're far from the belief of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a problem. And so the first part of that respect of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is respecting what he came with. And that is why the ulama, when they discuss the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the hadith al-hawd, when people will come to that the pond, the fountain, yawm al-qiyamah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there waiting for his ummah, and we'll be walking forward. But some of us, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard us.
Amen.
Some of the Muslims will be snatched away from in front of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the angels. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could see that these are part of his ummah. And he will say to the angels, my nation, this is from my nation. They say, Ya Rasulullah, you do not know what they did after you left.
What they innovated after. SubhanAllah.
There's different narrations. One of them is baddalu, what they changed,
swapped
after you left. ماذا فعلوا, what they did after you left. And the ulama, discussed, what is this? What's this trait that a person would do after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for them to be snatched away, that they did not get to drink from the fountain of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if you read the majority of them, is that they did not follow what he believed in. Not about just his certain actions, but rather they did not believe in what he believed, and they twisted and turned the sunnah and then added to it. Baddalu. They will change one thing to another. One sunnah to an innovation. And that's why Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there will come a time that people will make halal what is haram. But people will make halal what is haram. Baddalu. They're going to swap them over. Yusammunaha. They will name it بِغَيْرِ إِسْمِهَا. They're swapping.
We see that.
Alcohol is not alcohol. They swap the name. Fornication is not fornication. Swap the name. Music, it's not music. Swap the name.
Because some people think if they change the name of something, they change its reality.
That's it. Silk. Really, it's not actually silk. Change the name. They're changing the name, but it doesn't change the reality. So number two is that we give respect of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, starting from what he believed in, and then going all the way down throughout all of his practice. And then all of his rulings, and making sure that we don't feel anything in our heart against the rulings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number three that we need to give ta'zeem, to glorify the Sharia of Islam, to make it important in our life. This is what he came with. To make it important in our life. How do I make it important? And number one in my life is that when it's placed before me, I take it. And not only do I take it, but I accept it. And that's the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rulings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you truly want to give your the responsibilities upon you as a Muslim ummah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that if he came with a ruling, you accept it. Nowadays, when there's fights amongst the brothers, they will call a brother that everybody respects. And the brother will say, please, for my sake, just leave this alone. Look, don't hurt him. For my sake. Sometimes they bring a sheikh, sometimes they bring an elder, sometimes they bring a heavy a person that they both are scared of. Whatever the reason, they'll say, look, leave it with me. For my sake, leave it alone. For my sake, do this. For my sake, give it to that person. And we listen. We listen. Sometimes if you're a son, and your dad comes up to you and you have an issue with another brother, and you want to go hurt that brother, abuse that brother, and your father comes up to you and he says, with my rida upon you, I want to be pleased with you, don't do this. Stay at home, don't do this. But dad, I want the love that you have and the rida that I want to give you, don't do this. And the majority of the brothers will never do it. If the mother comes to him and says the same words, they won't do it. And they will say, if it was not for my mother, or if it was not for my father, I would have done such and such and such and such. Okay, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam telling you a ruling. We have to argue? We don't accept it? This is a problem. We need to try to find a way out? And hey, brother, why don't you grow your beard? Look, you know, honestly, يعني, I want to, but, you know, I'm not ready because. So if you're saying to me, so if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was right in front of you and he said, my son, you're part of my nation, I want you to grow the beard, you're going to say, well, you know, Rasulullah, I would love to, but, you know, do you really mean it? Like, is it a command from you? Or is it just giving me an option? You know, how about when I go to work? Can I shave it when I go to work or school? And then I'll grow it in the holidays? You know, what's the go there? Who would do that? No one in their right frame of mind would say to us now that that's what they would say to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right, but how do we respect him in his life and after he died? Is by taking his commandments and saying, if that's what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants, then that's what I do. We all have shortcomings. So start off with the things that are easy. And if you don't even do the things that are simple and easy and don't take any majhood, don't take any energy, then how come, and when you get to the big stuff, you can't do it? Of course you can't do it. Of course you can't do it. If the simple adhkar, the remembrance that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you to do, we don't do it. Sleeping, you know, on our right, we don't do. Eating with our right, we don't do. Saying bismillah, we don't do. Saying alhamdulillah, we don't do. Calling the adhan in a certain way, we don't even call adhan. Praying our prayers on time, we don't pray on time. Sometimes we don't even pray. These are the fundamental and simple things in Islam that we have to do and we don't even do. Imagine getting harder things. Imagine the brothers that are standing out there and saying that I will sacrifice my entire life for you, Ya Rasulullah. And yet they can't even sacrifice being patient with a few hairs on their face, or their wife in hijab, or staying away from haram, or not looking at the opposite gender. You're going to sacrifice your life? That's a big claim. I'll sacrifice my mother and father, Ya Rasulullah. That's a big claim. If the simple things in your life that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked you to do, you never did it. We need to relook at it. Are we given the rights of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to him? Have we really done that in our day-to-day life? As we mentioned before in our previous episodes, what happened with boycotting, what happened with the protests, what happened with the yelling and screaming, the Facebook posts, changing the profile, all of this is beautiful. May Allah increase you in support of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that's going to end. Whether you like it or not, it's going to end in a week or two. Maybe it already ended for some people. Maybe for some people, it already ended. Other brothers that are staunch, sisters that are staunch, you might go for another couple of weeks. All right. But what's supposed to continue? At least the rights you got to give Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they don't stop. You can't, you could never as a Muslim ever say that I've done my duty towards Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's enough. He's giving you Jannah. Follow his sunnah, you've got Jannah. He's going to be taking you out of Jahannam by kneeling before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling upon him, making dua for you. And you think that a Facebook post is enough? Or that you use the miswak every so often, that's enough?
This is a lifelong.
Yeah, lifelong commitment, because the reward is eternity.
One thing I remember our ulama teaching us, and it really summarized everything, and something I haven't forgotten, how they summarize what it means to believe in Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and therefore know his rights upon us, is that it's ta'atuhu fima amar.
Ah, yes.
To obey him in all that he has commanded.
Yes.
And to keep away from all that which he prohibited us from doing.
Absolutely.
And to only worship Allah in the way he worshiped Allah.
And this is it. This is our life. This is how our life should be. This is how our life should be. If I'm not staying away from things that he's told me to stay away from, and I'm not doing anything that he told me to do, and I'm not worshipping Allah the way he told me to worship, then what kind of right do you expect him to give me? Yawm al-Qiyamah, do you think you'd be calling me? We said at the start, the relationships have to be both ways. Don't expect him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to safeguard you from the hellfire, to make dua to Allah to take you out of the hellfire through the shafa'ah. And you've never looked at him, never mentioned his name, never practiced his sunnah, never got close, stayed away from everything that he told you to do, and you did everything that he told you not to do. And when it comes to worship, subhanAllah, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach. This is your rights given to Muhammad. This is our problem. Is that the actual claim is huge. The claim is huge. But on the ground, al-malmus, what we see and what we feel, and it's completely different to that. And that is why when we see the reaction of certain mashayikh and du'at, where they attack, not attack, but they're very skeptical about this whole issue with protests and boycott and all the things that the Muslims do around the world, they're very skeptical. They say, yani, you've never followed the Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in everything. In anything.
There, yeah.
And then you come and do a protest.
So it's basically, when we spoke about this in previous lessons, obviously it can be used in a good way, but it's basically emotional. They do something, and then
if it's only just sheer emotion and it stops, there's a problem. But even on top of that, I'm telling you, this is why the ulama, when they mention, we never attack the ulama if they have a different opinion. I know ulama that have said we shouldn't be protesting. I know that. And the reason is, they say very, very blatantly, they say, if you could never give nusra to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your day-to-day life, you never stayed away from anything that is haram, you never did anything that was commanded of you, and you never worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way you should, then you go to a protest in his name, and in that protest, you're playing music, you're with the opposite gender, you're touching and yelling, sometimes abusing, sometimes slandering.
I remember growing up when the Palestine issue was huge, it is still huge now, but growing up seeing it, because you see what others are doing. I remember some of our elders boycotting every product that they believe should be boycotted, but there was no prayer.
Yeah.
There was no religious knowledge, no seeking of knowledge, no calling to the good, forbidding the evil Islamically. It was just
didn't change anything. It was, as we said, that it was a sheer human response, and that's natural, but there was no action that came afterwards. And so, this is why we're doing all this.
So emotion has to be guided by Islamic knowledge.
It has to. If our simplest emotion, our emotion of happiness is guided by the sunnah, our emotion of sadness is guided by the sunnah.
Enthusiasm amongst the youth must be guided by,
of course, all of it.
The elders as well.
And if any of our natural emotions are not guided by the sunnah, then we fall into sin. Even when you are upset, when you're sad, even when you have lost a loved one, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us a way of putting a barrier around that according to the sunnah. Everything has to have the sunnah playing a role in it. And that is the third. The fourth is the mahabba, to love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that love is not just words.
has to equal obedience.
Has to equal in obedience.
And this is in the Quran, clearly.
And look at the obedience of Umar radiallahu anhu. The obedience of Umar radiallahu anhu to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then listen to the hadith when he said, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is basically saying, none of you truly believe until I am more beloved. I'm more beloved to you than your fathers and mothers, yani parents and your children and all of humanity. Umar radiallahu anhu said, by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, you are more beloved to me than my parents and my kids and everything in this world except myself. And he was being honest. He can't see that he could love anything more than himself, because you have this instinct for survival. You have this instinct to always take care of yourself, take care of number one. Nothing can, you know. So he had this instinct. So he said it, mentioned it. Muhammad said, no. Until I'm more beloved even than yourself. He said, ya Rasulullah, as God is my witness, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my witness, I love you even more than myself. He said, now, O Umar.
Even you see this, Sheikh Jameel, when you love your parents or your wife or your children and you put them in front of you, you do stuff, you know, to show that love.
Of course.
You put them before you, you sacrifice to show that love. And what about Allah and His Messenger?
If we can't, and if we can't see that we do that for people that are, you know, sometimes, wallahi, sometimes sadly, I'm not even worthy. We put ourselves before, yani our love for people like movie stars and soccer players and football players, and we will do what it takes to please them.
Or to be like them.
We will buy what they're selling.
To dress like
just
them.
To be for them to be happy. We will dress like them.
We'll read what they're saying and share what they like.
Yeah.
I just have to look at the MMA fighter recently.
Of course. Everything he's saying is now, lil asaf, yani, is that's basically it. If he says it, then, man, wisdom, hikmah. What he's saying is, mashallah, may be true.
Hey, and I've read a lot of it. Yeah.
Mashallah, he's got beautiful qualities. But you're doing this to a Muslim. That's great, mashallah. May Allah bless you. Where's the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why is some brothers, it's very easy for them to share a post like that, but they can't share a post of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah?
When you love someone, you overlook a lot of the faults.
You overlook a lot of their faults as well. But with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't even have to do that. Because you don't have to overlook anything.
Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is perfect. Yeah.
When you have brothers, you know, commending all these people that do good things, you haven't looked at the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did to the ummah? This guy gave, and this guy protected, and this guy saved, and this guy did. You haven't looked at what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did for you? What he went through? The struggles that he went through? And this is why, yani, for a Muslim to say that I love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a huge claim, and you need to back that up. So you can't just say it.
So we need to love what he loved and hate what he hates.
Exactly.
So he loves what Allah has made halal and permissible. That's and wajib it. And he used to hate what Allah prohibited. That's when he used to get angry, sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. And the highest of level of love was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hate is for all those who ever attacked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who are the enemies of Allah.
So when we say it, going back to the ayah, and because we're running out of time, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ
فَاتَّبِعُونِي
يُحِبِّبُكُمُ اللَّهُ.
So the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though it is his right upon us, but like I said, his rights upon us, when we do it, we are the ones that benefit. He's already been promised Jannah. He's already been given that promise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we, offering he's given us our rights. You know, us giving him his rights is a benefit to us. It's a benefit to us. Yani, when I'm working, and I'm working hard, and the person pays me, you're benefiting him. You're benefiting yourself, but that's a job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's my right upon him, that if I did the job, he gives me. But you're really actually benefiting him. You're making him bigger. You're making him stronger. So the ultimate benefit is with the person that you're working for, because he's giving you peanuts to do that job. Like the people that work for all these major companies, The major companies are making billions of dollars, like the you know, the Amazon guy and Microsoft guy, and you know, these guys are making billions. And look at all the people that work for them; they're getting peanuts, but they're happy. You giving your right, the right of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to him, you're the one that benefits. The ultimate benefit is for you. You're the one that's promised Jannah if you give him that right. Safeguard niyam and closeness to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Just that ayah itself, if you look at it, you know. If you
and on top of all of that, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And forgiveness, subhanAllah. And forgive your sins.
And forgive all your sins, subhanAllah. The rights of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not just words. It's actions, it's belief, it's sincerity, it's sidq, it's truth. And if we start to look at it like that, and we look at everything that's happening around the world, that this is for me to get closer to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to get closer to his sunnah, to get closer to what he believed in, to get closer to what he acted and how he acted, then alhamdulillah, no matter what happens in the world, we're always the triumphant. And that's the real, you know, that's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In kuntum mu'mineen. Antum al-a'laun. We're going to be always the triumphant if we were believers. And to be believers, you need to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only in speech, but in our actions, inshallah, in our heart, and in our sincerity, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Jameel. Once again, it's been quite a beneficial discussion. I thank you for being with us. And inshallah, the Sheikh will be with us next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. I'd like to thank all our viewers, all those who listened, for being with us tonight. Please share these lessons, these beneficial lessons. Don't forget to download our app and share the Al-Bayan Radio platform with all your friends and loved ones, our podcast channels, and also our YouTube channel. Barakallah fikum. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.